I'd like to call the meeting of the Personnel Committee to order at 5:31. Is there any changes or concerns about the agenda, or is there a motion to adopt it?
I'll move approval.
Is there a second?
A second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. So first on the list is a new job that's going to be, I think it's approved, coming up. It sounds really exciting. Have Julie say a few words about it.
So this is actually an update to a human resources generalist position description. We currently have a human resource generalist in September. We plan on having a vacancy due to a retirement of our payroll and benefits coordinator. Last summer, you maybe remember that we had our HR specialist retire. We haven't filled that position. Those duties have been assumed by the other three of us in HR. So with this upcoming retirement, as well as some anticipated vacancies in the near future due to retirements between HR and possibly even accounting, we wanted to make sure that we're going to have a continuity of operations. So we're proposing this job description, which is sort of a combination of all of the three jobs in HR. And it's very consistent with HR generalist positions, which generalist typically means you just do little pieces of all of HR. So as you look at it, you could see it's covering everything from payroll to benefits to recruitment to employee relations. It's a little bit of everything. So we feel that by getting someone into this position and getting them fully trained and in all those areas, we should be able to meet the future, have some bench strength with that. So it does result in some changes to the grade. The payroll and benefits coordinator is a grade 22. We are proposing this position after we've rated it through our factor evaluation system at grade 21. It is an increase, though, to the current HR generalist position, which is currently 20, so it would move that to 21. It would also move from non-exempt to exempt. This does result in a savings of approximately $5,000. So that is essentially what we're doing, is trying to look ahead a little bit and be prepared. So any questions?
If you could, for the record, just explain the difference between exempt and non-exempt for me, please.
Mm-hmm. Under Fair Labor Standards Act, a position is either exempt from overtime and minimum wage or not. And it's based on the duties. So it's sort of how people might think of an hourly position is non-exempt. A salaried position is exempt. And so it has to meet criteria based on the Fair Labor Standards Act. This one would fall under the administrative exemption, I think, where basically it relates to the type of judgments that are made, the type of decisions, the type of supervision. And so we've determined that we would put this in the exempt category. So therefore not subject to overtime.
Good explanation.
Yeah, great. Any other questions about the position? Yes, Jason.
Just wondering, then will there only be two HR positions from here on out, or do you know?
Right now there would be three. So this new position, we have a HR generalist right now and myself.
Okay.
And so the other generalist is really focusing on recruitment right now, which has been pretty considerable post-COVID, and we seem to be seeing quite a bit of turnover, particularly in our entry-level positions. So the new position will focus on that payroll initially, and then eventually we'd like to get that cross-training.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions, concerns about the position? So would there be a motion to accept this new position?
I'd move that.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any further discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So the new position is all
right.
Ready
Thank
to
you.
Go. Thank you, Julie.
Thanks, Julie.
So our next meeting, to be determined.
Yeah, we're thinking we may need a September personnel meeting. We've been doing some discussions about staffing. If you remember earlier this year, we started thinking about what it would mean if we ended up with a $15 minimum wage, recognizing about a quarter of our workforce would be under that number right now. So we're thinking about how to handle that with the turnover we're starting to see in those library aid positions. And our first foray into that discussion, the most urgent need right now is substitutes. We're struggling to figure out how best to use our substitute staff. And keep in mind, we used to have a lot of substitutes, and then through COVID, we chose not to use as many of them because we just didn't have the hours to cover when we were closed. And then we saw some of them decide not to continue because they were retirees. And we also saw some unemployment claims for people who were substitutes for us, who we were continuing to give hours, but they had been laid off from another position. So we're thinking about how to best use substitutes at the library system, and that might mean a policy change about substitutes. Right now, the minimum we have is that they pick up two shifts a month, and what we're talking about is maybe raising that requirement. And then I'm not sure where we'll go next with the ideas around staffing. We may not yet have that figured out. If you remember, if you've been with the library system for a while, we have a staffing calculator. It helps us determine staffing levels, but it's largely circulation-based. And with a year like 2020, it makes it almost impossible to use because none of the statistics last year are really replicable. Like, we have no idea what 2023 will look like in terms of busyness. So thinking about how can you staff equitably, knowing that the number that you typically use as your main source of business activity is no longer something you can compare, is something we're figuring out. But that staffing calculator was passed by the Great River Board, so if we are going to use a different philosophy with staffing, we'd need board approval to do that.
Okay. So was that into the finance for next year for the budget?
We are figuring the budget as is. There is no change to minimum wage at this point.
Okay.
So we're in the fortunate position to be proactive about whatever might need to come.
Okay.
And the thing that also has changed is library aides, when I started 20 years ago, were typically high school students. And then we started asking aides to work during the day when the delivery came because we were focused on right task, right level, and the core activity was processing those holds when people came in. So we started hiring a lot of retirees into our library aide positions, which was great until COVID. And a lot of those people decided to no longer work in a public environment. And we haven't seen them applying for the positions. We're seeing a different workforce applying for those positions. We're also seeing people not stay more than a couple of months. And so it's a challenge and an opportunity. It's a challenge because we're trying to fill these positions and they are part of our core business. Like, pulling holds is a big part of what we do. And if it doesn't get done, somebody's got to do it. On the flip side, it's also an opportunity because with that level of turnover happening, we could make an incremental change happen fairly quickly. So we're not really sure what that means yet. We just know that it's time to start talking about what that looks like. And it would likely come to this committee. For sure we'll have a substitute policy, but there may be other stuff.
Okay.
If not in September, in future meetings.
Okay. Any comments, questions?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Are we having staffing issues yet at this time?
No.
Okay.
Nope, but I could see it coming. The thing we have going for us is people like working at the library. Like,
it amazed me that retirees kind of left, but I figured, boy, they get stuck in that house, they want to come back.
Maybe, maybe fall looks right. Different.
Yeah.
You know, they're all on vacation right now, so maybe they come back. I don't know. And maybe COVID is a little less frightening, or if you're vaccinated now, you don't feel as concerned working in the public. But that doesn't really eliminate the issue around the budget in that a quarter of our staff are working under a dollar amount we might have to meet in the near future. I mean, the federal minimum wage went there. Not anything else has gone there yet, but that's a lot of people, and I don't want to have to do that one year. Personally as director. Yeah. I think that would be hard on everybody.
Yeah, that's but you nailed it. It's a challenge and an opportunity, you know, and it's up to us how we handle it.
Let's get through the Delta variant first before we get all these retirees out of the house. You know?
And we have aides who've worked for us for a long time who love being a library aide. They don't want to work with the public. Some of them do. Some of them get promoted. But we have some people that wouldn't want that type of job. And so we have to think about what that means for everybody. Because if you change the person, the most people's jobs, like, you know, a third of our workforce's job, what does that do to all the other jobs? And it's not just one position we're addressing. We're talking about something that's much bigger than that.
Okay. Any other comments, questions? Otherwise, we'll adjourn.